In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O Good One. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. This week, we're preparing for Trinity Sunday, which is a culmination beyond the culmination. Pentecost, in one way, is the liturgical culmination of the school of the liturgical year. Trinity Sunday is the theological culmination. We just look at God, and we love Him and admire Him. And the Church gives us these texts that talk about the Trinity. And we come to know the Trinity by His actions. And of course, the full grasp of that is reserved for that act of God by which He strengthens our whole spirit so that we can actually see Him, called the beatific vision. Now, the first thing we're going to do now on the getting ready for Trinity Sunday is to continue our discussion of Verbum Domini. You see, Verbum Domini means Word of the Lord. But we know from Scripture, that that Verbum Domini, especially from the prologue of John, is living and active, more penetrating than a two-edged sword. He is the creator of the world. God creates everything through Him. Omnia per ipsa facta sunt, the old Vulgate tells us. Okay. When we consider the basic meaning of the Word of God as a reference to the eternal Word of God made flesh, the one Savior and Mediator between God and humanity. Now, it's amazing, isn't it? That we're in the image of God, and so we understand Word. We have words. St. Thomas says, commenting on the prologue of John, that all our words are a share in the Word. Isn't that beautiful? Because we express something of what the Father has expressed completely in the Word, because all of Himself is there, and then in creation expressed again. And so our coming to know the Word is to know the exuberance of God's inner life, and it's as it is reflected. Prologue of John, this document tells us, says of the divine Logos that all things were made through Him, and without Him was made nothing that was made. We have other texts, let me quote some here. Letter to the Colossians. The Logos incarnate is called the firstborn of all creation. And all things were created through Him and for Him. Now, when we think of ourselves as the image of God, see, the most profound way we image God is to express. Now, that imaging of God in the Word reaches its perfection when we see God and respond to God with our whole being in a word, as it were. That's why John in the book of Revelation portrays everybody in heaven singing. In other words, we are created by the Word and we respond by the Word. Now, that doesn't get to be perfect until we see God. However, when you look at what God has done for human words, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is my body. This is my blood. Those are not just human words. They affect what they signify. Accedit verbum ad elementum et fit sacramentum. We need the verbum and we need the element. Bread, wine, water, consent to marriage, whatever. So, you see, this is a meditation on this. God expresses himself within himself from all eternity. But that same expression is mirrored in creation and in salvation. And so, isn't it amazing that God speaks? Now, there have been many arguments about this, saying that God speaks is an anthropomorphism. It is in a way, but in a way it's not, because our authority for speaking that way comes from God himself. So the text goes on to tell us, you see, this is, he's quoting Hebrews now, 11:3. By faith we understand that the world was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made out of things which do not appear. Isn't that fascinating? See, the world was created by the word of God. And how do we know that? By faith, which means by a gift of God we understand. And faith is a way of knowing. And so, this way of knowing enables us to grasp, you see, that the whole world was made, you see. That which is seen is made out of things which do not appear. What are those? All the potentiality of God. Now, for us, this proclamation is a word of freedom. Scripture tells us that everything that exists does not exist by chance, but is willed by God as part of his plan, at whose center is the invitation to partake in Christ in the divine life. Now, this is extremely important. This is exactly what is challenged in our day. Creation. You see, when we didn't understand the laws of the physical cosmos very well, we could just see God at work. Now that it's all reduced to mathematics, you see, so that, as I've said before, for modern man, the world has an intrinsic intelligibility. Can understand the world in terms of physics and mathematics, expresses these, and we can control it. But you see, it doesn't have an independent intelligibility. It all depends on the Word. And so, you see, this Word, you see, and the center of this plan is Christ. And so, we have this beautiful statement here in Domini Verbum, Verbi Verbum Domini. Creation is born of the Logos and indelibly bears the mark of the creative reason which orders and directs it. Now you see, as Hebrews just told us, by faith we understand this. When our contemporaries are divorced from faith, they try to make the whole thing not so much explicable as controllable. So what happens? This gift becomes an instrument, a thing. So what happens from there? There are many interesting books being written right now, what happens from there. we can't live in this universe scared. So once we think we're the masters of it, what do? We look around for other powers. It's amazing how many good histories have been written pointing out that most of the great scientists, psychiatrists, and others who proclaim this independence of created reality, at the same time, are into the occult. They need something to keep them safe. Once you banish God from the world, you are aware there are forces you can't control. And now you try to cultivate these forces and manipulate them for your own advantage. This is witchcraft, attention to the occult, a lot of meditation systems. You see, they all happen when man declares himself an orphan and tries to go on without listening to the Word of God. All reality, the text goes on to tell us, expresses this mystery. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims His handiwork. It's only when our minds get twisted on ourselves that we don't hear that, that we don't see that. Reminds me of a story someone told me. The Indians, they're not Christian, they're pagan, up in the Yukon Territory in that area. They pick berries. And as they pick these berries, for every berry, they say a prayer, thanking God, as they know Him, for this gift of food. Then the oil companies came along, bulldozed the whole thing out of the way, so they could make money. Now, who's more realistic? You see, this is what this Verbum Domini is meant to teach us. Thus, sacred scripture itself invites us to acknowledge the Creator by contemplating the creation. It's this famous text in Wisdom 13 and 14, which is picked up in Romans. And there you have that famous statement, right? That the invisible things of God are understood by the things that are made. Now, Paul, in writing this in the first chapter of Romans, is echoing this teaching of the Book of Wisdom. You see, if the teacher is talking and you don't want to understand him, you distract yourself. The whole universe is a word from God. It's a message from God. See, Paul says here, I'm just going to read a few lines of it. He starts tough, huh? The wrath of God is revealed from heaven on all the ungodliness and injustice of men who are suppressing the truth. You see what's going on? Suppressing the truth. So that the beauty, the harmony, the music of the Word is not heard. That is this fundamental Word which reflects the Logos. We'll pick up from there next week and continue to understand this basic notion that God speaks to us. Amen.